Good morning. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And it says right here, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It says here, with my heart I will thank the Lord. It says, with all my heart I will thank the Lord.
With all my heart I will thank the Lord.
In the assembly of his people.
In the assembly of his people.
Now listen to the rest. How wonderful are the things the Lord does. All who are delighted with them want to understand them. All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. And get this, the Lord does not let us forget his wonderful actions. He is kind and merciful. He provides food for those who have reverence for him, and he never forgets his covenant. He has shown his power to the people by giving them the lands of the foreigners. In all he does, he is faithful and just. All his commands are dependable. They last for all time. They were given in truth and righteousness. He set his people free, and he made an eternal covenant with them. Holy and mighty is he. Now the way to become wise is to have reverence for the Lord. He is to be praised forever. So the psalmist says, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
With all my heart, I will thank the Lord.
With all my heart, I will thank the Lord.
In the assembly of his people.
In the assembly of his people.
Praise God. May we bow and pray. Father God, we have come into your house this day, into a room that's been made very holy by the presence of God. We are here with expectation, because every time we meet with God, we expect you to move. And we thank you in advance for moving upon all of your dear children. At this invocation, we invoke your blessing upon us. We tune out the world, put aside the circumstances in which we live, reside, and work, and just tune in to a loving Heavenly Father who rejoices in hearing the praise of his children. And this is our purpose, to praise you this day, Lord, and to listen to what you're saying to us, to get our marching orders for the week. And so we thank you for your presence that blesses us right now. Amen. We're very, very happy to have Jody Lynn Carlson home from the hospital.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And Jody, on this first Sunday back, wants to sing to you her prayer.
All right, Jody.
To let Jesus love me, want to let Jesus love me. Look behind, why? Lift me up so I can see the beauty of His love. I want to let Jesus love me, put His arms around me. Lift me up so I can see the beauty of His love. Lift me high.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah. I'd like to dedicate this song to all the couples in church, out of church, and members of our church, couples who are married, people who are in love because of what Jesus has done for us. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, so shall I live. Your people will be my people, and your life will be my life too. Wherever you die, I shall die. And there shall I be buried beside you. We will be together forever, and our life is the love of our lives. I want to say something to all of you who have become a part of the fabric of my life. The color and texture which you have brought into my being have become a song, and I want to sing it forever. There is an energy in us which makes things happen when the paths of other persons touch ours. And we have to be there and let it happen. When the time of our particular sunset comes, our thing, our accomplishment, won't really matter a great deal. But the clarity and the care with which we have loved others will speak with vitality of the great gift of life we have been for each other. Wherever you go, I shall go. Wherever you live, so shall I live. Your people will be my people, and your gift will be my life too. Wherever you die, I shall die, and there shall I be buried beside you. We will be together forever, and our lives and love will be the gift of our life.
The greatest gift of life is love. God has so loved the world that he did what? That whosoever should not
perish,
but
everlasting love.
Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, for the gift of love that you've given to us through Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and our Savior, we praise you and we thank you right now. For the capacity to love people, we thank you and we praise you right now. For you have given each one of us a spirit within, your spirit, which is love. And we have been commissioned to share this spirit of love to one another. And it is this love that will heal the nations. It is this love that will heal our city. It is this love that heals our families. And it is this love that will even heal ourselves, because it is God. And God is love, and God is wholeness and health and completion for each one of us. So would our hearts be open and our minds be in tune to what the Spirit would say this day to us right now about the greatest part that we can play in the gift of love, which is the healing power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 10 years or so ago, Nancy and I, with about 40 other people, got on a bus right here in King City and went to the Oakland Convention Center to hear Catherine Kuhlman. Any of you heard Catherine Kuhlman live? One or two? By live, I mean going to her place. Okay, you've heard recordings or maybe you've read books about her. Catherine Kuhlman was a woman who was greatly used by God in healing. And we boarded the bus here in King City. We went to the Oakland Convention Center. It's been more than 10 years ago. And while we were there, a great experience was encountered by everybody who was participating in that trip. I want to share with you some words that have come across my desk about her. And even as we went to the center, arriving an hour or so before service, may be interesting, you know, we should come to service rather early. We were there an hour early for service. People were coming by bus, commercial bus, planes, cars, vans. They were just all going right there from all over California, parts of Arizona and Nevada. Backstage, Catherine Kuhlman. no different than you. Catherine Kuhlman, pacing back and forth, soft blue eyes, and she says this: no one knows better than I, her voice is all filled with emotion, how powerless I am, how dependent I am upon the mercy of the Lord to help these precious people who've come tonight. But the ability of God is beyond my comprehension. It's beyond our strongest faith. It's beyond our largest prayers. She says, backstage, when I go up and touch that black doorknob that opens onto the platform to the convention center, she says, I die 1,000 deaths because there are people out there that are depending upon the word that I say. They're precious people who have come to be healed of God. Many people whose last resort is God, unfortunately. She says, they have come in their desperation to be healed and to find God. I can't give them anything. It's Catherine Kuhlman. I can't give them a thing. All I can give them is simply this. I can stand out there and I can let the Holy Spirit give it to them. I stand on these steps and you'll never know how I feel when I open that door. Some have lost hope and some have last hope. I have no power to heal, she says. I only have power to remind them of the bigness of God. That's all the power I've got. And that is God who reigns. So after several anthems, and usually the song He Touched Me, she appears on the platform with her long flowing almond hair. And I think that night she had a white dress on, long flowing sleeves. Her smile captivates everybody. It seems like electricity is crackling out of her. They sing, How Great Thou Art. And people, what happened there is happening right here. Hands raised in prayer. Freedom to pour out one's heart to the Creator. Freedom to thank the Savior. Freedom to receive the Holy Spirit. And then in all silence, Catherine Kuhlman says, There is power in the name of Jesus. And there's a hush over the whole congregation. She said that night, We know, Father, that miracles are going to happen in this place today. We feel the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit. We promise to give you all the praise, all the glory for what is going to happen here. Pour out your Spirit upon us for Jesus' sake. And people, that is what we're saying here. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon your people for Jesus' sake. For we may not have anyone right here in wheelchairs, though you may be listening to me in a wheelchair. We have nobody here right now that has great physical difficulty from my observation. But you may be listening to me who does. But the fact is, we still have needs that can be met in the name of Jesus and only the name of Jesus. And so that you'll know my plan for the next 30 minutes. This is the game plan. I am the Lord God, your doctor. I want to show you the woes, which would be the sickness that we have. I want to show you the word, which is the scripture. I want to lead you through the ways, which would be the system. And so with this in your mind, you have the outline before me. As I have before me, you have the outline before me. Satan came to me last week as strong as he's ever come to me. The last time he came to me in a dream, he was driving a 1955 red and white Chevrolet convertible, which Nancy and I used to drive. He had a horrible green face. He said, Follow me, Neil, and I will give you all the things you don't now have. And he hit me at a very vulnerable spot. But thank the Lord, in my dream, I was able to say, No, get behind me. And he dug out, he spun the rubber, and he said as he left, I'll be back. He's come back several times, like last week. He has taunted me about this sermon much this past week, given me all kind of garbage about it. And it has rushed into my mind finally that every time I try to present to you, dear people, a message about the power of God. He attacks me. He tries to taunt me and say, oh, they don't need this. Don't give it to them. And besides that, they've already heard it, and they know it. And so I've had a battle just to stand here this day to proclaim to you the word of God. Satan comes to us, and in his own way, he says, look at the circumstances. Just look at the circumstances. But what does the Lord say? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Now, just to recap in 3 minutes or less, last Sunday's sermon, we talked to you about what icons were. And there was one person in the congregation who had never seen an icon on the highway of a bed. How many of you have since seen an icon of a bed? An icon is a picture. It's on the highway. We have a lot of highway signs, but they don't have words. They just have an icon. They just have a picture. And what an icon does is point the way to some necessary benefit. And even in driving to visit Jody in the hospital last week, I brought this up. I won't mention any names. And that person never saw a bed sign on the highway. And my dear wife said, I never have either. I said, well, watch the next city we approach. And sure enough, the next city we approached, there was an icon telling us that there was a place to sleep. And there's one on our bridge. And we got all kinds of icons. God has got the best of all icons, and his icon is right up there. It's the cross. He has chosen dark, dark images to impress upon his people. Well, we said last week how that in the Old Testament, people were told to look and live. Bob, would you get the lights for me on this? Some are not able to see clearly the icon that was used in the Old Testament days. Now, do you see the snake on the pole? Many could not see it last Sunday because we left the lights on. But Moses was instructed, if the people are going to be healed, they've got to look at the snake which was placed upon a pole. And to keep a snake on the pole, the brass snake, you had to have some kind of a cross arm. We'll call it a cross. And so this is why in John chapter 3, thank you, this is why in John chapter 3 it says that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So we are to look and live at the cross. We are to look and live. Now, our woes, the woes that we have, the sicknesses. We have physical sicknesses and we have inner sicknesses. To mention just a few of the inner healings that we need, there is the alcoholic who has an inordinate crave for drink. He needs to be healed. God says, look and live. There are many programs and tapes and counseling that can go a great way, people. And many have been healed that way, but the best way, the surest way, the most complete way is by looking and living at the cross. The drug addict, to quit cold turkey can be possible in the name of Jesus. The one with an unforgiving spirit, the one with an ego trip in motion, or the reverse of that in low self-esteem, the lack of confidence, having your feelings hurt easy, the list would go on and on and on. And on and on and on. And these are the things that we have that need to be healed. These are the sicknesses that we have. These are the woes that we have. We have the outer healings. Manifested, for example, in arthritis, a lame person, someone with a speech impediment, or a hearing difficulty. In fact, the Word of God lists 35 diseases or infirmities in the Word of God. And I want you to see these because these are the ones that Jesus has died for. Barrenness, blindness, boils, leprosy, lameness, blemishes, a flat nose, broken bones, a crooked back, dwarfed, eczema, and skip number 12, it's typographical error. Scurvy on number 13, consummation, which is a wasting away, number 14. Fever, inflammation, a burning aga, which means just fever, bad fever. An itch, madness, a blotch, hemorrhoids, sunstroke, dysentery, atrophy, which is a wasting away of the body also, sores and bruises, venereal disease, palsy, epilepsy, demon possession, running issue, dumbness, deafness, dropsy, impediment of speech, ulcers, infirmity, and worms. Is there anybody here that has something that's not listed there? Or you know somebody else who has something not there? It's hard to believe. Yes. Cancer. Okay. Very good. Very good. And arthritis was not listed on there. But these are scripture listings of healings that need to be healed. Difficulties. Now, every disease has a life. Hear this clearly. Every disease has a life. Just like all of us start, we'll call it a germ. Every one of us at conception was started with a life. And the life started growing. Disease is the same way. It starts with a germ given by Satan, according to the Word of God, and it just grows and grows. Disease has a life. It has a point of growth. The germ is from Satan because Satan has come, Jesus said, to destroy and to kill. And it's what Jesus calls a spirit of infirmity. The germ causes the disease to grow, just like the germ of life grows. When the germ of life is over with, then the body returns to dust. When the germ of disease is spoken against in Jesus' name and dies, then the person no longer is affected with that particular ailment. Cancer has a life in it. Cancer starts with a germ of cancer, a spirit of cancer. And it grows and it grows and it grows. And it continues to do its work of destruction. But when that cancer germ is commanded to leave in the name of Jesus, it leaves. It always happens. The cancer would be dead. The sick will recover. But the question, did I hear somebody think, then why doesn't it always happen? Stay with me. As long as one thinks that the sickness is from God, they're going to have a hard time recovering. Because a father doesn't enjoy our suffering. Who among us as a father today would say, hey, I want my child to suffer? The Heavenly Father does not want his dear children to suffer. Now, the doctors may call it arthritis or rheumatism. The doctors may have other names. They may call it blindness. But Jesus calls it a blind spirit. The proper medical term may be dead ear nerves, but Jesus calls it a deaf spirit. Glaucoma or cataracts may be the medical terminology for it, technically, but Jesus called it a blind devil. We've got these illnesses that are in the world today, and none of us would dispute that, would we? So I think up to this point, we all are on the same track. Nobody's derailing. Everybody is coming along. The engineer is moving us. All the cars are going. We all are with point number one. The woes are the sicknesses. And many of you have sicknesses that we don't even know about. The inner sicknesses. Many have outer sicknesses that we are aware of. So let me bring you from the first stage of the woes to the second stage, which was the Word, which was the Scripture. Now listen carefully, if you will, to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26.
If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer.
Thank you. I, the Lord, am your doctor. I, the Lord God, happens to be your doctor. Now, this is what the Word says. Now, you can jump off board now if you want to, or you can listen to this other scripture that comes from 1 Peter 2:24.
And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed.
By his wounds. What wounds? Where did he get these wounds? He got the wounds on Calvary.
On Calvary's cross, he got the wounds. And the scripture says, by his stripes, by the shedding of his blood, we are healed. Now you can jump off, or you can listen to this third scripture that comes from Psalm 103, verse 3.
Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?
Amen. Hallelujah. He does heal our diseases. Now, God heals our diseases. Let me hear you say it, whether you believe it or not. God heals our diseases. God heals our diseases. You see, Christianity is a love affair between the Father and the bride. We heard this morning beautifully sung about the love affair. That's what Christianity is all about. It's a love affair between Christ and his church, and he wants you well. He wants you well, and Satan wants you ill. You've heard that before. He wants you well. Psalm 107, verse 20 is one you should remember. He sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Now, people, there are two kind of words. We're looking at the word now, the scripture, but there's also the Savior. He was the living word. This is the written word. Now, the word, whether you believe it or not, is greater than any painkiller in the world. The word is greater than any antibiotic to stop infection in the world. The word is greater than any tranquilizer to calm the nerves. I'm not against medicine. No. Let me repeat that. I am not against medicine. As Oral Roberts has explained with the two hands in front of his city of faith, the two go together. They're the praying hands. There is the medicine and there is the faith in God. So I am not against medicine. But people, I do know that when I have had bad headaches, I have sat down and read the word, and my headaches have gone. I do know that when Nancy has been suffering great bodily pain, she has listened to Christian tapes and her pain has gone. I know the word heals because it says it, and by faith I will believe it. He sent his word and healed them. I hear somebody thinking right now, then why aren't all healed? You don't have to lift your hand. But I lift my hand. I ask myself that. Why then aren't everybody healed? Why aren't people healed when we lay hands upon them? Why doesn't it happen every single time? Why aren't people healed every single time we pray for them? And next Sunday I'm going to give you some reasons, scripture reasons, why some people are not healed. But God still reigns. God still reigns. In fact, Catherine Kuhlman said, it is beyond my mind, my words. It blows my mind away when I see a non-believer who is healed by God. What does this show except the mercy of God? It shows his mercy. It shows his love. And I think our problem is that we tend to put God in a box. We try to put God in this box. And sometimes it's even a shoebox and maybe a matchbox. The big God we tend to put down and conform and confine. But faith, to believe faith, is something that we need to stretch and use. But to many people, faith still is their own ability to believe a truth. And it is often based upon their struggles and their abilities to drive away doubt and unbelief. Faith is a gift. That's why we need to stretch our faith and believe what God says. Believe this word of God. And to move out as God would want the church to move out. Psalm 119, verse 49, reads like this. Remember your promise to me, your servant. It has given me hope. Even in my suffering, I was comforted because your promise gave me life. While I have a book in my library that says, is the title, What About Us Who Are Not Healed? God still heals. God still reigns. And this scripture is for all of us who have prayed for people or who have been prayed for and have not seen the result. It says here, God, remember your promise to me, that he's promised health, he's promised healing, God's promised this. But he says, it's given me hope. Even in my suffering, I was comforted because your promise gave me life. Paul, who had an ailment, who was prayed for a number of times, three at least recorded in the scripture, was told by God, not right now, my son, but what I'm going to give you instead is the grace which is sufficient. So when you're going through a difficult time with your children and you are praying for your children and you're not seeing the fever expel, you're not seeing the healing that you want, or maybe it's a worse type situation, remember this scripture in Psalm 119. It's in the longest chapter, so this is the longest questions that we have. Why is it the suffering of the righteous? Remember your promise to me, your servant. It's given me hope. God, I remind you of the promise that you've given to heal me. Even in my suffering, I'm comforted because your promise gave me life. Look and live for life. Well, I'm just an old Christian. I don't care what type of Christian you are. If you are a Christian, if you are a born-again believer, then the word says that the believer will lay hands upon the sick and they will get well. Not maybe, but they will get well. And so a lady said, I will never, ever, ever. She said, you'll never find me going around praying for people, because if I laid my hands on somebody and prayed for them and they didn't get well, it would shatter my whole faith. It would damage them as well. But people, that's not true. That's not true. This is how we grow and develop in the Lord. We do exercise. With faith believing, we do this. And praise God, we've got young people in our church. We've even got children who, when they're with somebody who falls off a bicycle and scrapes the knee, lay hands upon them and speak peace to them. And they're being blessed. And these are kids growing up to be the churchmen and women of tomorrow. Things that many of us as adults wish we knew when we were their age. The way is the scripture. We got the woes, the sickness, the word, the scripture, and now the ways, the system. What I did, people, was to go through all my sermons that I have used in the last number of years. The first sermon on healing was back in 1975, when God spoke to my heart and said, it is for the church today. God put healing in the church. In the community church, he put healing here, but people have taken it out of the church. So from that point on, we've spoken about this, and I went through every sermon, and what I did, I collected all of the systems, way in the Word of God, that's used to heal a person. And I was so surprised, I had 9. And I said, that's really nice, but it would sure be nice if there were 10. And sure enough, I came up with the 10th one. To my knowledge, the 10 that you're about to hear are the ways, according to the Word of God, that God heals today. This is the system, some of which you are familiar with and some you're not. The first is in Proverbs 4:20, and it's just the Word. You don't have to turn to it. But number one, the way God heals is through the Word. We've already looked at that this morning. My words give life. My words give health. My word. The word was to the people of Moses' day, look to the snake and you'll receive health. What is the logo? What is the icon on medical journals today? On physicians, what do they use? A snake. Where did they get such a ridiculous thing? From the Word of God. They may not know it, but that's where they got it from. And God is saying today, yes, consult your doctor, but also consult the Lord God, who is your doctor, Exodus chapter 15. So the Word does heal. Secondly, Mark 16, the laying on of hands. God has chosen this method. I haven't, and I don't know why he does, but the Word says, if you want to be used to heal somebody, and what I want you to do is encourage you to be the believer. Step out in faith to that relative. Step out in faith to that neighbor. Step out in faith to that person whom you work with and say, may I pray for you? And if they say no, say okay. If they say yes, then go for it. As Catherine Kuhlman said, you're not going to do it or not do it. It is God who does it through you. Lay your hands upon that person. It is a system. It is the way. The third is the blood of Jesus. You can speak the blood of Jesus, and it does work. It does heal people. It is the blood that heals. So we've got the word, we've got hands, we've got the blood, and then we've got oil. If you don't have a vial of oil, there's some on the table in the narthex. You can take it home and use it. It's a scriptural system. You take oil and you anoint that person for their healing. And there's an excellent digestive tract on the use of oil in today's society based upon the Word of God that you can read if you like. God uses the oil. Then the fifth method, he uses common, ordinary prayer. He just uses prayer. Pray and God will heal. He uses prayer. James chapter 5 verse 14 and 15 is the one for oil. James chapter 5, 14 and 15 is also the one for prayer. And James 5, 14 is also the scripture for the system of using the name of Jesus. That is a system. The name of Jesus. We got the word. We must remember this. We've got the hands. We got the blood. We got the oil. We've got the prayer. We've got the name of Jesus. Now, this may not be enough for some people. So God, in his wisdom, has placed into the church certain people who have been supernaturally endowed with spiritual gifts, and we call it the gift of healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and also verse 9, speaks of people who have the gift of healing. Now, to my knowledge, none of us to whom I'm speaking have the gift of healing. But all of us have the commission from the Lord to lay hands upon the sick, and they will get well. So we have two things going here. God does choose to heal through the person who has the ability to operate in the charismatic gift of healing. Then number eight, he heals through deliverance, Mark 16, 17. Deliverance is when you cast out an evil spirit from a person in the name of Jesus. The last two, you may not think much about prior to this time, or may not even thought about them. But God has a way of healing people in groups. In groups such as this. We could even be singing the praises and somebody could be healed by God. Because we find in Luke 5:17, when the people got together, God healed. So the other day a person called me, none who are here, and said, "I can't come to church, Pastor, because I don't feel good." And I thought to myself, I should surely tell that person that's why they should come to church, so they could feel better. I didn't do that. But it happened another time, and so I got up enough holy boldness to say, "You know, I know you're not feeling good. I know you don't have any communicable disease, but you're not feeling good. Why don't you come to church and let God heal you?" The person did. And with just a few minutes, the person was singing God's praises and healed by God, coming into a group situation. Now the tenth is by a handkerchief which has been blessed by a group or by a person